Hello, seafood friends. You're listening to Catch the Current, the coolest seafood podcast out there from the team at Undercurrent, bringing you everything from the boats to the boardrooms, breaking down the news, spilling a little industry fish oil, and sharing the sharp market insights you need to know. I'm Amanda Buckle.
And I'm Lauren Castiglione. Lots of moves being made in the seafood space. So news broke this week that Umias, formerly Maruha Natiro Corporation, will acquire a 51% stake in Malaysian pet food manufacturer Pet World International for $77 million. As the Japanese seafood group expands its pet food business, one of the core pillars of its growth strategy beyond traditional seafood operations. The acquisition, which was approved by Umias's board on Monday, June 29th, will be completed through a newly established holding company. The companies expect to sign a share purchase agreement on July 16th, with the closing scheduled for September.
Pet World International is Malaysia's second largest pet food manufacturer and the country's largest locally owned producer. The company's pet food business dates back to 2004, although the current holding company was established in 2018. The company employs around 350 people and has built a leading position in dry pet food, holding a 35% share of Malaysia's dog dry food market and a 17% share of the cat dry food segment. Its product range spans economy, premium, and functional nutrition products for both dogs and cats. And Pet World International operates Malaysia's only pet food manufacturing facility certified under the British Retail Consortium Global Standard for Food Safety. And its products are distributed through more than 10,000 retail outlets, including supermarkets, pet specialty stores, and convenience stores, as well as its own e-commerce platform. Check out Undercurrent for details on the company's financials.
Meanwhile, Fastnet Fish, owned by Andrew Marr International, the largest UK seafood player, has acquired Seafish UK, a value-added coated whitefish processing plant, which produces frozen coated fish and other products at an 85,000 square foot processing facility in Hull. Seafish operates three production lines capable of manufacturing, freezing, and packing up to 3 metric tons of finished retail products per hour. Facilities include a 600 pallet cold storage, on-site research and development capabilities, quality assurance laboratories, and automated freezing and packing systems, according to the Seafish website. The acquisition coincides with the retirement of Bob Carter, managing director and principal shareholder of Seafish, following almost 60 years in the seafood industry. Emma Acklam, sales director of Seafish UK, said that the company will continue to operate as an independent business while benefiting from the support and resources of the wider Andrew Marr International Group.
And again, full story in the show notes. Now, our coverage continues with Mowi, which has agreed to sell its East Canada salmon farming operations to Cook for $159 million US dollars. The news broke Tuesday, and the transaction covers Mowi's salmon farming operations in New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, and Newfoundland and Labrador, including freshwater hatcheries, sea farming sites, and 2 processing plants. The business had a standing salmon biomass of 9,000 metric tons gutted weight at the end of June and employs about 250 people.
The deal, expected to close in the second half of 2026, is subject to competition approval and other customary closing conditions. Cook said in a statement that the acquisition would strengthen its Atlantic Canada farming operations. The deep dive into this story, including analyst view, can be found in the show notes.
Meanwhile, whitefish processing plant Esperson also announced this week it has opened consultations regarding a significant reduction of its primary production activities in Poland and the sale of the facilities that have historically housed the company's primary operations. As Undercurrent reported, the decision comes after a difficult 2025 financial result and represents a strategic shift away from primary processing to focus on accelerating growth in its added value consumer business.
Esperson will continue its primary production in Vietnam, which it says plays an important role in serving customers outside Europe and provides greater flexibility in the company's global sourcing and production setup. Selling its primary processing in Poland will leave it with Vietnam as the sole primary processing facility, plus consumer production units in Poland and Denmark. The firm said that the consultation process in Poland will be conducted in accordance with Polish legislation and in close dialogue with employee representatives.
Approximately 650 employees are connected to the primary business in Poland, including indirect support functions. And despite continued uncertainty in global seafood markets, Esperson said it enters a new chapter with renewed confidence, with strong financing, a simplified production footprint, and a clear strategic direction centered on profitable consumer growth, operational excellence, and closer collaboration with customers. The news from Esperson follows hot on the heels of two major developments that have made the situation for Europe's largest cod processors more desperate. You can't forget that 2026 began with the lowest Barents Sea cod quota for 30 years, as well as EU sanctions in place on cod produced by Russia's Noribo Holdings and Murmansk Seafood, each accused of industrial espionage.
Full story in the show notes. And to round out our recent seafood M&A news, Undercurrent reported last week that Fortune Fish and Gourmet has agreed to acquire two operations from Inland Fresh Seafood Corporation of America, which will expand the acquisitive Illinois-based distributor in the U.S. South. Private equity-backed Fortune announced the completion of the buyout for the inland operating divisions in Houston, Texas, and New Orleans, Louisiana on Thursday, June 25th, with the deal formally closed on June 27th.
In a joint statement confirming what UCN sources had said about the acquisition, Fortune and Inland billed it as a win for both companies. Fortune, which is majority owned by Investcorp, expands its presence across Texas, Louisiana, and southern Mississippi with the acquisition. At the same time, Inland sharpens its focus on its core Southeast markets and positions itself for continued growth and investment across its remaining operations. Antarctica Advisors, a Miami, Florida-based seafood corporate finance firm, acted as the advisor to Inland.
The acquisition of the two inland facilities follows Fortune's return to M&A at the end of 2025, when the company acquired Durham, North Carolina-based Simply Fresh. That was after the huge summer 2023 buyout of Boston Sword and Tuna. Before that, Fortune had been on an acquisition spree, acquiring six other processors and distributors after it received investment from Investcorp in February 2020. Fortune International is set to hit $1.3 billion in revenue in 2026 with the acquisition. Full story from Undercurrent founder Tom Steeman, including news on more M&As in the works, can be found on undercurrentnews.com.
Moving along, Endless Shrimp is out at Red Lobster, but Crab Fest is back in, baby. Joining us now is the big crab himself, Undercurrent price analyst Gary Morrison.
Hey, Amanda, how are you?
So Crab Fest is back at Red Lobster, and they've got a couple of different options for people, but it's going to cost you. So they're kind of trying to hit everybody at different price points. So you can start off at $30 for a Crab Your Way entree, which is a pound of snow crab legs and a side for $29.99.
You know, I think we know that Red Lobster stepped into the snow crab market relatively early, part of the Gulf of St. Lawrence season, and they booked product right through. So they took a big portion of the quota from the Gulf. So we had kind of an inclination that they were going to, you know, feature this again this year. But the price point is certainly a little bit higher than previous years. And I think in my travels, I've seen a lot more restaurants than I expected for all you can eat crab legs and snow crab being the legs that they're featuring.
You know, I think it's funny that you say that because I thought the same thing. I feel like I haven't really seen it, but all of a sudden I'm seeing all these offers pop up from these restaurants that are hosting these all you can eat feasts. I found one by me. I'm in the Jersey Shore area and they have one at $49.95 per person, all you can eat snow crab. And that, you know, comes with all the works too. And Gary, you found quite the deal towards Atlantic City.
Yeah, I was down walking Atlantic City Boardwalk, you know, over the weekend, and I saw a $29.99 all you can eat snow crab. It was only on Mondays and Tuesdays, so, you know, certainly not every day, limited time and limited days. So I think they knew that they had some exposure. When I talked to the person behind the counter, he did say that it's very thin margins on that product, and, you know, that's why they're limiting it to 2 days this year, trying to drive some business into the restaurant.
To circle them back to now Red Lobster, so last year their Crab Fest launched their seafood boils, which got a lot of hype on social media, and it attracted that crowd. Like you said, Gary, it drew them in. It made them order other things. So what they did this year now is they've created, this is like basically the one new thing on the Crab Fest menu this year, is this Crab Fest boil, which offers guests twice the portion of crab as any existing Red Lobster boil. So you're getting, normally in these seafood boils, you're getting half a pound of crab legs, and they're giving you a full pound in this. You know, prices vary between, I found one as low as $43.99 in like Louisiana, but then up to $48.99 in Toms River, New Jersey. And so they've also added Tanner crab as a premium add-on. And I thought this was interesting, is that last year they advertised it as a $9 upcharge. This year, they don't actually mention it, like the upcharge in their official press release, but looking through their website, it seems to be at a pretty consistent $5 upcharge this year, which I thought, you know, that's, I mean, I could see someone just saying like, hey, for an extra $5 more, why not?
Why not, right? Yeah, I mean, I think again, it's all about driving business. And we were there for Red Lobster for the all you can eat shrimp. There were a lot of seafood boils going out. Remember that we made mention of that. We kind of surprised that during the shrimp promotions that a lot of seafood boils were going out.
Yeah. All right, Gary. Well, I don't see any better way than for you to get into what's going on right now in the U.S. wholesale market with crab.
Yeah, so I think most of the focus now is on the Newfoundland and Labrador region, right? So, as of Tuesday, June 30th, 77% of the quota has been landed. The Gulf's been over for a few weeks now, so this is where the focus is. So anyone that's buying that higher price Gulf product continues to do so in limited fashion. But really now the focus is on the Newfoundland and Labrador region to meet the needs of the rest of the consumers. There was some bad weather. And obviously some labor disputes early in the season, which delayed it slightly. So we are a little bit behind last year. So what that did just a very few weeks ago was it made the market a little bit cautious because buyers were expecting a large influx of crab in a shorter period of time. But what has happened since is that pent-up demand from food service operators, as we've seen more and more offer all you can eat offers, have balanced out the increased supply coming with greater demand. So prices are actually firming in the week assessments for this week 27 of 2026, June 29 to July 5th. We saw all sizes of snow crab from the Newfoundland and Labrador region firm. The benchmark 5 to 8 have reached over $10 per pound. So that's signaling to the market that demand is continuing to be strong. Now, if the retail business picks up in any form to previous years, I think you would see a further upward pressure despite what we have left, because most of the participants that I'm talking to have told me that the small amount of quota left has already been spoken for the most part. So, any spot inventory is going to be tight and people are going to compete for it. All our weekly price assessments, along with our commentary and wrap-up stories, log into Undercurrent. Make sure you have a subscription to UCN 360. I'll give you a full holistic view of all the markets that we have covered. We continue to listen to our subscribers, and one of the main things that they talked about was full visibility into global trade. Our UCN trade portal aggregated all the imports into the United States by volume and by price. We've since added US custom data, and that allows greater visibility into who is bringing in what species and how much. It can give you greater insights into people that are buying more or less, shifting trade flows, as well as looking up suppliers or customers. So we've continued to listen. In that it's navigated similar to our trade portal. It's very easy to use. You can filter based on a whole bunch of things, including species or importer, and you can track the top 25 importers by species. And I think that's the biggest use case that our customers are talking about.
Thanks, Gary. All right, before we go, one more cool story for you. I know you agree with me on this, Lauren. Summer is for concerts.
Oh, yes, 100%. I've already been to two of them.
Oh, what'd you go see? I know one was Jimmy Eat World, which I'm very jealous about.
Yes, we saw Jimmy Eat World. They were in their Bleed American tour. So they played the iconic album from my senior year of high school, freshman year of college. So I was, a ball full of nostalgia that night, and it was awesome. And then I went to see at the same Asbury Park Summer Stage, saw Yellow Card and Newfound Glory, and they were great too.
Amazing. I wish you had
Yeah.
invited your work wife instead of your real life husband, Lauren,
I
but
know, I know. Next time, next time.
well, I'm going to go see Mr. Fantasy in a few weeks and I can't wait. Invite's open, Lauren. But anyway, you're at the concert, you bought the band tee, the hoodie, the poster from the merch table. But wait, what's this? Is that tinned seafood?
Wait, what?
Tinned seafood has become band merch thanks to a collaboration between US tin fish darling Fishwife and Sumi singer Audrey Hulbert. So Hulbert, a co-writer on some of Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Gracie Abrams's songs, released her debut album, Who's the Clown, last August. And while promoting the album at the time, Hulbert revealed in an interview with Dazed that her dream collab would be with, and I quote, whoever runs the company Fishwife Tinned Seafood. Well, fast forward nearly a year later, and she's got that dream collab.
I love that. You got to put it out there for the universe to make it happen.
Cheddar Bay biscuit fanny packs, where are you? All right, but back to the story at hand. It's a cool story because Fish Waif reached out to Hober on Instagram to thank her for the shout out. An offer to pass along some cans to restock her turned into a limited edition release of Fish Waif's smoked rainbow trout featuring Audrey on the packaging. It's not only available online, but on Audrey's tour.
Very cool. Bringing music and sustainably sourced seafood to the people. We need more collaborations like this.
Well, anyway, if you're in the US and celebrating America's 250th anniversary this weekend, then remember, safety first. Be the fireworks professionals.
Okay, Mom.
And don't forget to bring seafood to the party.
Definitely. All right, everybody, have a safe 4th.
Thanks for listening.